Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. God bless you. God bless you. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We just want to bless God for this day, amen, that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, amen. And most of all, we thank God for each one of you that have joined us, amen, for a Tuesday night, amen, Bible study, amen, fellowship, amen, and just preparing ourselves to hear the Word of God being delivered, amen, from our pastor, Apostle Christopher McQueen, amen. But before we get into tonight's study, in fact, go ahead and grab your Bibles, get yourself situated, amen, and as you're doing that, we're going to go into the announcements, amen, and the upcoming events we have, and then prayer. Following that, the next voice you will hear will be Apostle McQueen, amen. Letting you know, people of God, that every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen? And then also, please join us at our live location for a live worship experience. Amen. On Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m., again, that's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, our live worship experience, 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, 8:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. Amen. Prepare your heart for the praise, the worship, amen, the Word of God. And for those of you who are located right here in the Brevard County area, especially the city of Cocoa, we invite you right here to join us in person at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, that's 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. Amen. We'd love to see your face right here with us, your presence with us. Amen. Come expecting a word from the Lord. Come expecting His presence to be here. Come expecting, amen, signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. You will not be disappointed. If you come with your hearts prepared to receive, amen, I guarantee you God will not disappoint you. Amen. He said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Glory to God. So those are the brief announcements. And also join us if you go to our webpage, www.ctkr.org. As you're going to our webpage, click on the media tab. You can see all of our live broadcasts there, as well as going to our archives. Amen. Hearing the Word of God from Apostle McQueen, so you can catch up, amen, on episodes that you've missed, making sure and continuously to make sure that you are in the vein for what God is saying in the earth on today. Amen. Glory to God. And for those of you who want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, amen, touch and agree with you in prayer, or you just want to know more about our ministry, or you would like to invite us at one of your locations, go to our Contact Us page located at the top of our website. Once again, www.ctkr.org. Amen. Follow those instructions, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. For those of you who have requested prayer, do know this. We are praying for you and believing God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Amen. He's going to do it. God is for you. Amen. And glory to God. And let us hear from you. Huh? Let us hear from you. Let us hear praise reports. Amen. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. Also find us on the Facebook page. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. Or Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen. We definitely want to hear what God is doing in your life. Glory to God. Those are the quick announcements. And if you want to be a blessing to this ministry, amen, prayer or financial supporter of this ministry, amen, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We love you. We love you very much. Amen. Now for the events. Upcoming event, My Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference is going into effect live October 16th through the 19th. I want to personally invite you as my special guest, amen, to my conference. We have some powerful women of God and men of God that are going to be in the house. You don't want to miss it, women of God. And you know what, fellas? You don't want to miss either. Just because it says women's conference, it does not exclude you. Everybody needs the word of God. Everybody needs to hear the word. Everyone needs to have a touch of his presence. So I invite you two men to join us, amen, at my conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny, amen, starting October 16th through the 19th. Services start promptly at 7 p.m. Location, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. Can't wait to see you. Amen. And then in November, we have our singles conference coming up. More details coming your way real soon. And finally, we have Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Amen. January 29th through February the 1st, 2015. Glory to God. The young people are already excited. They're fired up. I can't wait. Amen. The speakers that are going to be coming are going to be powerful. The praise and worship is going to be powerful. Amen. I am ready. They're on fire, and I want to be right in the middle of the fire. I don't know about you. Amen. So those are our upcoming events. Amen. We want you to join us. So please come. Show yourself here. You won't be disappointed. Amen. If you're looking for a church home, this is the place you need to be. Amen. Glory to God. Now, those are the announcements and the events. Now, let us begin to bow our heads, look to prayer, and prepare ourselves for the word of God being delivered by Apostle McQueen. Father, we bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank you. We praise you. We, your people, glorify you. Father, there is none like you in all the earth. We glorify your name, and we thank you for all that you have done for us and what you continuously do for us. Now, Father, as we, your people, come, we ask that you would forgive us for every sin, that you would wash us in the blood of Jesus, wash our minds, our hearts, our souls, God. Make us right before you. Purify our hearts. Change our mindset. Give us a permanent or a mind shift on today. Amen. To serve you, to continue to move forward in the things that you are already ordaining us to do. In the name of Jesus, break every shackle and every chain off the lives of your people. Open the blind eyes, God, in Jesus' name. Take off the blinders that they may see where they are. Take out the cotton that's out of their ears, God. Let them hear spiritually what you have to say unto them this day. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we ask that you would touch Apostle, or touch him with your word, God. Touch him with your anointing. Let him come forth with fire and power and strength. Deliverance in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for the souls you're saving. We thank you for the word that's delivering. And we thank you for healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. Glory to God. Now, people of God, let us prepare our hearts to receive, amen, our apostle, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. God bless you. So happy that you would join us. Come on, give God praise wherever you are. God is awesome. Yes, He is.
Yes, God.
We're so happy that you have chose to join us this evening. You know, midweek services and the like, a lot of times we don't have in the body of Christ people who like to come. But for you to join us, we are appreciative. Amen. We're moving from those who are showing up on Sunday because that's their time to show up and sing their song and be in front of the people to those who are actually looking and listening to what God is saying. And I thank God that you would take time out of your busy schedule to be here with us. Now, with that being said, October 31st and November 1st will be the single conference, Successfully Single, amen? And we have a few people who are coming in. Listen, y'all don't want to miss this. I'm married, amen, happily, but I'm going to be here to see what the singles are talking about too, amen? Because every once in a while, you need to learn how to go back, amen, and pick up and glean, amen. I remember it being said, whatever it took to get her, it's what's going to take to keep her, amen. And same thing for the husband. If you cook for him, then that's what drew him in. Oh, my baby know how to do it. She can cook. She can get it together. Don't stop cooking, amen. Make sure you keep that going, amen. That's what pulled him in. That's what's going to keep him in. Amen. The flowers, the roses, all the rest of that's nice. But remember, you know, you gotta keep all that up. Amen. Amen. And just before that, the Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, I want to encourage you all to be here, knowing that God is about to do some things here in this place. We've been going over music and all with the praise and worship leaders and the musicians. And I know right now that they're prepared just to shift and change the atmosphere, man, make it conducive to miracles, signs, and wonders. And I wouldn't miss it if I were you, amen. It's going to be dynamic, and this is going to be something, amen, to talk about, amen. Now, here we are. We're still dealing with, amen, the subject at hand, amen. And the Lord began to speak to me and began to talk to me about certain things, amen. And we're trying to get our hearts and our minds wrapped into what God wants us to do, amen. This kingdom lifestyle broadcast, amen, really deals with that. There are so many people who have no idea of what a kingdom lifestyle is. People have heard the word kingdom and have made it synonymous with all kinds of things that are not kingdom, amen? So what happens is people get disenfranchised, discouraged, amen? They walk away, disillusioned, if you will. And then when someone comes and speaks to them and speak a real kingdom message, they can't hear that because the word in their mouth, amen, has already been disturbed, it's been crushed, amen. So now we have to go back and redeem, amen, and restructure and reset and, you know, re-identify, if you will, what kingdom is and who we are, amen. And God is trying to get us to see that. Now, it's also been the grounds for a fear, amen, that's running rampant throughout the body of Christ. Prophetess and I have been talking about this for a while, and the Holy Spirit has given to me to begin to minister on the subject, the fear of success, amen? And that's what we're dealing with. The problem with success is that it has to be maintained, amen? Huh? The real issue with success is that once you are successful, you must be a success. So what people are doing is they're making excuses for failure. See, I don't have to maintain that. It just is what it is. And God is trying to get us to move away from menial and mediocrity. You know, you just make it enough. Just make it. Oh, I'm so happy the Lord gave me just enough. He's more than enough, but I thank you. He just gave me what? No. He called me to abundant living, and abundant living is not always money, but I should have peace in my mind and health in my body, amen. My family should have resources and the like. So when God called us to that, he called me to be a blessing. I'm not running after the blessing. I am the blessing, amen. Look at your neighbor and just remind yourself, say, I am the blessing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because too often what happens is we're trying to impress people by trying to get a blessing when God has already made us the blessing. Amen. I am the blessing. Amen. And once you understand that, once you get that into your mind, once you get that into your psyche, the way that you respond to the enemy when he comes at you with some mumble jumble, with some crazy stuff, it's going to be different. Because when you know who you are, then you can talk to him with assurance of your backing. And I want you to know, God did not call you and set you up for failure. God set you up for success. He's not getting glory out of your fall. He's getting glory out of your stand. Amen. So God is trying to get us to stand up and be who we're supposed to be. But if you don't know who you are, your identity is wrapped up in pleasing people. Your identity is wrapped up in things. Your identity is wrapped up in the accolades that come from people walking around you and smiling and patting you on your back. So instead of serving God, what you find yourself doing is you do things to make people happy. Ultimately, you don't make God happy. We've been here in 1 Samuel, amen, the 16th chapter, and dealing with this is interesting because this is where David is chosen, amen. And for those who are listening, I'm dealing with some training and some development here in the house. I don't know if the Lord will give me permission, if you will, to go ahead and move into that direction. But we're dealing with armor bearing, amen. And developing them, one of the things that I found is that when we deal with armor bearers, there's been a lot of miscommunication and misinformation that's been disseminated. And people think that armor bearers are those who I got my glasses, so they're carrying that, they're carrying my iPad and walking behind me and making sure I got some drink. And if I come up here, they're making sure I got, and what are you doing? I'm the armor bearer. We've gone from armor bearing and doing all of this to now walking around and can't nobody get to the pastor, can't nobody get to the man of God because you stand in the way and form a protective barrier because you're going to protect the man of God. Listen, brother, sister, that's not what an armor bearer is, amen? I don't need an armed guard to protect the anointing on my life, amen? Because if God decides that I should be a martyr for him, he'll make sure that my life, amen, after the incident will testify and bring others to Christ. Now, can you go to a cross? Or are you afraid to die because you know you doing all kind of other stuff? Well, I want to live. I believe God got more for me to do. Listen, I'm in his hands, and if he said, thank you, you've done enough, now I'm going to turn over to somebody else, I have to be able to release and go. Amen? Huh? I'm not trying to die, but if this is what it means, I have to do that. Are you willing to do what it takes? Amen? So, as I was talking to them and I was sharing with them, God began to show me some things. We're going to read here 1 Samuel 16, amen. Let's read this now. Let's go down to the sixth verse. Our identity comes from us judging our anointing with other people's anointing. So we don't have an identity that God can get the glory from. Amen. Every time somebody else do a program or show up and they sang or they preached or they got a prophecy, and you're like, ooh, I want to prophesy. I wish I could hit those notes. Oh, I wish I could play like this. I wish I could put this. Your identity is tied up in people. And God is trying to get you to be tied up in him. Look what it says here. It says, so it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see man, see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What he was telling him is, and you have to understand the backstory here or the context that the scripture is, David has been chosen by God. Samuel is told only that Jesse, go to Jesse's house, take oil, amen, huh? And go down to Jesse's house, for I have chosen for myself a king, amen. And I want you to know that sometimes God will send a man or woman of God to your house, amen, to where you are, amen. And you're thinking, why are they coming over here? They're just trying to get an offer. They're just trying to come over here and eat up my chicken or whatever it is. Whatever your preconceived notion is, true men and women of God move on assignment. Let me say that again. True men and women of God move on assignment. Amen. You have to understand that sometimes we go some places and we do some things. You hear my wife, Prophetess Crystal, who will say to you, if you would like for us to come to your event or whatever, let us know and we'll be in prayer. See if that's what God is saying. We have gone places and found that we did not have, amen, the resources at that place to even go. But God always made a way, amen? What I'm talking about, we went to ministries where they didn't have 20, 30, 80 people, 100, 200, 5,000 people, amen? We've gone where there was 10 to 15, amen? And of the 10 to 15, some of them were young. Others of them were on assistance. So the money wasn't there to go, amen? Hello? But they need the gospel too. So we went and ministered the gospel to them. Amen. Huh? Pay attention here. So what's going on is God sometimes will call you to go somewhere and do some things. Amen. Huh? That is outside of your comfort zone, but it's still him. Here, God called for Samuel to go to Jesse's house, amen. And he goes to Jesse's house, and he's told that he's going to anoint a king there. So now Samuel knows that it's going to be a Bethlehemite, amen. And he knows the Bethlehemite is going to be from the house of Jesse, amen. But he does not know which one. So while he's there, the first one that comes before him is the eldest. And by tradition, yes, it should be the eldest who steps into the place of anointing or the place of blessing, amen. For after all, isn't it the eldest son that receives the blessing, amen, and they're responsible for disseminating that blessing throughout the rest of the family? It made good sense that Eliab then here would be the one, huh, who would receive this blessing and this new anointing. But the Lord said no. Follow what I'm saying here, because some people right now have discredited themselves before God. And what you've done is God said, I'm going to use you. And you talked about your brother. You talked about your sister. You talked about your best friend. You talked about your cousin. You talked about your neighbor across the street and everybody else who has a gift and ability, and you tried to use them for a reason why it couldn't be you. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to use you. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to use me. What you're looking at in your eyes, amen, it's not what God has seen. And what he says to Samuel here, he says, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. Why? Because I have refused him. surely this fine-looking young man who stands, and he must have been somebody, you know. He must have looked like he could take on the enemy and run him good, amen. He looked like a warrior, amen. And as we go on, we find out that David's brothers were in Saul's service. So they were men of valor who knew how to work. Amen. Because Saul took of the men in Israel, amen, those who could fight. Let you be somebody who knew how to handle yourself. You found yourself very quickly in Saul's service. Amen. So his brothers looked like somebody. They carried themselves like somebody. Amen. But when we go down, we see that the Lord did not choose any of them. Amen. Abinadab, amen. No, that's not him. Shammah, no, that's not him either. Amen. And the Bible says here in the 10th verse, it says, thus Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Saul, Samuel. Amen. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen thee. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. Now, let me show you something. I'll go to a story here because we all know the story of Cinderella, right? Cinderella has been in the house with her stepmother. She's been made to do all the chores. Her evil stepsisters, and you know, are doing all that they want to do, and they're focused, amen, huh? But while they're focused on everything else, amen, here's Cinderella preparing herself for her next level. She learns how to cook. She learns how to clean. She learns how to do all those things that have to be done. And then the Bible, the story goes that there came a ball. The prince is looking for a princess. And I want you to know that after everybody else has gone forward with the promise, with the potential, with all the makings of making it, what God has for you can't be stolen by nobody. And you have to understand that God, when he set up your blessing in your position, when he set up your anointing, what he was doing was he was positioning you, huh, in kingdom planning, amen. There is only a job that you can do, amen. You're the one to do it, amen. Don't get big-headed right here, because just like Saul found out that when he got beside himself, God will raise up another. I told y'all on Sunday that anointings can be transferred, amen. Don't get so comfortable with your anointing that you fail to follow God. Don't get so comfortable with what you're doing that you forgot you have an assignment. Don't get so comfortable that you think that after all is said and done, nobody's going to do what you can do. Because brother, sister, when you get out of line, get out of place, God will raise up another, fashion them, prepare them, and then set them in the place where you should have been to do the job that you should have been doing. Don't fool yourself. God can raise up another. Amen. So here it is that David has not been chosen. He has not been chosen. And as he is there, he is out with the sheep, amen. And let's talk about these sheep here. Because you have to understand that if you're going to lead God's people, huh, you have to learn how to care for God's people. You see, that's the reason why everybody can't be a pastor. Some people are just out for themselves. What can I get? Huh? Can what I get? And then sit on the can, huh? To make sure nobody can get it from me. But when you have a pastor's heart, amen, you're like a shepherd. You're looking to see where the sheep can procreate. Huh? Because they do so when they're at peace. You're looking for green pastures, amen, so that they can be well nourished. You're looking for still waters because the way that their mouth and their nose is set, if they try to drink out of rushing water or running water, they'll drown from it, amen. They need still water. So the shepherd is constantly serving and looking at the sheep. He's looking to see how the wool is growing so that they don't get skin disease and other things. He knows when they need to be sheared and trimmed down to keep them healthy. If you're a pastor and you're just preaching on Sunday and going home and showing up and you want everybody to see you when you pull in to your special parking place, going to your special office, you come out and wait for people to give you special accolades, but you don't care nothing about the membership, amen? You don't care nothing about the sheep. Then all you're doing is working a job but not doing the job. Amen, somebody. See, when we got too many people standing in sacred places, dishonoring the call. Amen? David's out here watching these sheep. And while he's keeping the sheep, God is preparing him to be a man of war, a man of valor, a man of action. Amen? We'll see as we go on that Samuel said to Jesse, send for him and bring him in, because we're not going to sit down and eat, amen, until he comes. And when he came, let's see how he shows up. First of all, you're going before the prophet, amen. He comes in, he was ruddy and bright-eyed and good-looking, amen. Huh? And the Lord said, and I'm going to put this together because I got to preach this, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. You need to say, you know, with me, I am the one.
I am the one.
Lord Jesus, I am the one. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, the thing here that we have to really pay attention to is that the anointing that came upon David came upon him at one point. This is it. Amen. And when that anointing came upon him, then David now is equipped to do the job. He was at this point when he was anointed king of Israel. Amen? See, it's telling you, you have to understand that God has already anointed you for the job, even though you're not sitting on the throne. Anointed for the job. The assignment is yours. Amen? The accolades, the position is yours. Amen? They just haven't moved out the office yet. Amen? Can I give it to you this way? The job is already over for them, but they still have the 2 weeks of the 2 week notice to be there in the office. Amen? But that's your job. And so it was with David. David was there. He's the king. But now he doesn't know anything about being the king. He doesn't know anything about, you know, any of those protocol or anything else. If you're going to rule over men and call this one and send that one and send them out to battle and do, then you have to know what it is that you're about to do. And look at what God does. Amen. God does something here, and this is where I want to hang my hat for the rest of this broadcast here. God does something here in this transfer. I shared with you that the anointing transfer, and so did the assignment. This anointing transferred, and so did the assignment. Amen? Let's see what this is. 14 verse. Amen? But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Huh? Now, let me tell you something. Because some people, you have been living a crazy life, showing up to church, but living for the devil. You've been running around talking about you anointed and the anointed, but everything about you outside when you show up to church says, I don't know him and he don't know me. Amen? And when you get to that place, you think that your anointing will keep you,
So when the enemy that now has a right to attack you begins to do so, you go to God and say, Lord, what's going on? I sang your people got happy. Why is the enemy coming after me? Why is the enemy trying me? And the thing is, because God can, and listen, God will release a distressing and troubling spirit. He did it right here. Boom. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So when the anointing lifts up off of you, and the place where God sets that anointing, amen, when it goes there, it takes with it its covering. Okay. The covering is what kept him safe when he went into spiritual battle and other things. It is what kept him. On your life will keep you. Prophetess, and I can tell you many times that we've been traveling in ministry and stuff, and things happen that would other people would have succumbed to going down the Ohio Turnpike. What's it, the Ohio Turnpike, or right in there? Yes. We was on the Ohio Turnpike. It was nothing but ice on the road. The truck come barreling down on us. The wind that's pushing the truck, amen, the semi pushed us and started us sideways. And as I went to correct, you know, let's just say we ended up over in the ditch. Amen. But no one in the truck was hurt. Amen. Huh? We got the truck out of the ditch and started back down the road. Other people would not have had that as a testimony. Amen. 15 years of policing, I've taken those accidents. I know how that works. Traveling on a highway, the rear tire goes in a brand new car. Amen. And we're coming out 75 South, amen, from Detroit, amen. And we're coming right down where right outside the lower part of where Detroit is. And we're in the passing lane, amen, on 75. And y'all know that that's about 6 to 8 lanes, amen. And while I'm there, the rear tire on the driver's side goes like this. And I feel all of this and get it over to the side of the road right in the middle of the median. Get out and look, the tire's gone. But not just that, the axle, what's it, the axle or whatever it was in back that held the tire on was sheared off in half. Now, I'll tell you, we weren't driving 5 miles per hour when that happened. See, you have to understand that God, he kept us. He keeps us, amen. There's been places where we were going, we were coming back from ministering in, what's it, Akron or Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh, amen. And we were on the way back, amen, driving in the car. Prophetess has her headsets on. She's rolling, amen. She's trying to get home because she's just ready to get there, amen. And she's driving. And the tire went. Now, we're going through the Pennsylvania mountains, no, the West Virginia mountains, right in the turnpike, and we're going around, you know, where the river follows the road. So we were going around curves, and she was, let's just say the speed limit was 70, and thank God she didn't get caught about the time, amen, because, yeah, that tire wasn't the only thing that would have went, amen, but the thing is, the tire went, and she drove for about a half mile, almost to a mile, before she knew something had happened. I was sitting in the passenger seat and was trying to get some sleep to take over, and when I felt the car start shaking, and I knew something was going on. I woke up and looked over at her, and she's sitting there just praising God, driving, and just I'm like, you don't feel that? Tapping her. She's like, what? I'm like, you don't feel that? She said, got the car over. There was no rubber on the wheel. Amen. We should have been killed many times, but the anointing on our life has protected us. What are you saying? I'm saying that when God gives you an anointing, he gives you protection with it. And without God, we say this a lot, but I think you need to understand what's really coming out of my mouth. Amen. When I say without God, we can do nothing and we got nothing. Amen. When you understand that many times you should succumb to a situation, the environment was not conducive to your well-being, and yet God kept you, you need to recognize that the anointing kept you. You bear God's name, and he will protect his name. Amen. So look at this here. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. That's because it just went to David. Amen. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. So the uneasiness, amen, of this right here then begins to bother him. It bothers him to the point where he is about to lose his mind. 15th verse, and Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man, listen to this, who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that when he plays it with his hand, when the distressing spirit is, from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Let me tell you this right here, and I want y'all to understand this, and I'm going to go back into this as we get closer to our next service, amen, because I want to make sure that you understand that there is anointing upon the music. We talk about it, and people right now are talking about it's just a job. I play at church, but I go and play at the club afterward. Brother, sister, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself, amen. This is greater than you getting cover charge money, amen, because there's anointing on you, amen. And when you go out from the presence of God and you go amongst all of them and do all of that, amen, then the first thing that happens, amen, is that it tells off on you. I didn't see nobody, you know. I made the church. I made the rehearsal. Y'all did a revival. I showed up at the revival. Yeah. But you wasn't really involved in that. You was just trying to play to collect your check so you can go to the club and get your other check. This right here shows us then that there is a correlation between those who are anointed and skilled, amen, and those who are just skilled. We don't have to worry about this when we stop patty caking the devil when it comes down to this. God is trying to get us to stand up, and I'm calling for real minstrels, real men and women who have sold out to God and will not sell out to the highest bidder to stand up. We need this. Young men, young women need to stand up and dedicate yourself to God. Well, you know, the world paying this, they pay me out to. Okay, then create your venue. When you can go talk to people and talk about people like Ty Trebek and all of them who can play and do stuff, Doobie Powell and different other ones who are playing and have been playing in church and doing it for the longest, and y'all turning around trying to pick up all the licks and everything. These are people who learned how to do it and make a living at it, amen. You want to impress somebody, then allow the Holy Spirit to give you a sign that people can't help but support. As long as you look like everybody else and do what everybody else is doing, guess what? You're going to have what everybody else got. Well, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. You can't buy favor. You can't buy peace. You can't buy peace of mind. Amen. You can't buy healings. You can't buy miracles, signs and wonders. Amen. But if you dedicate yourself to God, you can have all that. Amen. Skillful player on the harp. Amen. Now look at this, because I want you to know, they talk about your gift will make room for you. But truly at this point, his gift made room for him. Amen. Huh? But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Amen. When David played, amen, 18th verse, then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, amen. How did he become a mighty man of valor? Well, you run after a bear and after a lion and deliver a lamb out of its mouth and don't see if you, you know, it, you can't be scared and do this, amen. You have to be able to stand up and do something, amen. He's skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, amen. Prudent in speech and a handsome person. And this last one right here is why Saul is having his problems already, and the Lord is with him. I learned a long time ago that the Lord will be with us, amen, and with others, amen, and they'll have a problem. God is trying to get them to move into something, and they have become hard-hearted, stiff-necked, amen. And when God brings us around, we'll come around so that we can talk them into following him. And they decide they don't want to, the Lord will move us on, and we'll watch in the wake what actually happens, amen. Too many to call. God knows how to use you as a tool. Amen. Huh? As a vessel. Huh? As a catalyst to get his will done in the earth. Amen. Look what happens here. They talk about this young man. Therefore, Saul's servant, 19th verse, sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. He's back there being prepared for his next level. Brothers and sisters, do not overlook the training. Do not overlook your positioning. Do not overlook what God is doing to get you ready for the next level. Everybody wants to show up at the next level. But if you're not prepared for it, huh, you'll tear things up. Look at Moses. Moses realized and recognizes that he's a Hebrew and he sees what's going on with the Hebrew people. He's sitting up in Pharaoh's house, but the Hebrew nation is going through. So he decides he's going to go and do something to deliver them. And he causes problems. Because even though it was in the kid's life plan to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, it was not in God's timing when he tried it. David, if he would have went, knowing that he had been anointed, walked into Saul's presence, and didn't play the harp, didn't stand before him, if he would have walked in there and said, well, you know, Samuel already poured oil on my head, so, you know, it's just a matter of time before all this is mine. He would have made a mess. You understand? Just because God gives you a dream, just because God gave you a sermon, just because God spoke to you, just because God showed you something, don't lose your mind. Wait, get developed. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Huh? On your ministry, wait on the Lord. Huh? On his timing, wait on the Lord. What do I do? Because I just believe I need to be doing something. Yeah, okay, well, get with the sheep. Like David. When it's time for you to serve, then find yourself doing what you need to do in the service. Stop trying to wait. I don't go to church anymore. Why? Because they won't call on me because they know that I'm more anointed than everything up in there. That right there shows that you wasn't. Amen. Your flesh was just on parade. That's why you're not up in front of everybody. Because when you get up, your flesh can't be showing like that. Well, Lord, huh? Here you are trying to show people how deep and revelatory you are, but your flesh is in the way of the revelation. You think it's because they're trying to hold you back, and it's because the Lord has not given them a release for you because your flesh is on parade. See, you can dress with a suit. You can get all this stuff together. You can buy every Bible program that you can get. You can go get as many degrees and certificates that you want. And after all is said and done, if God has not breathed upon you, if God has not processed you, if God has not taken you through the paces, brother, sister, you spent good money for good knowledge, but you don't have an application for it yet.
Well, God.
Some people that I know have great anointings on their life, don't have education behind it. But when they say Jesus, something happens in the atmosphere. When they call upon his name, something happens. You need to have with your resume an anointing. Amen. Saul sent his messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David. Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat and sent them by his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. God sends you to a place, don't walk in with your accolades or with your, walking in trying to tell everybody who you are and where you've been. Who cares? Amen. Of all the people that I played for, all the ministries that I've been a part of, amen, I've served so many great men and women of God. I can't say that I'm a son of thunder, amen, because Mother Boyd birthed me out as one before she passed, amen. My wife is a daughter of Zion, amen, because Mother Boyd birthed her out before she passed. We left from there and went to Bishop Iona Locke, amen, and there we learned how to walk in excellence in ministry, amen. And she put us through the paces, amen. I still remember having to go to Methodist Academy in order to sit on an organ. You can't just sit on an organ without knowing the word of God. Don't tell me you're an apostle and you don't understand how to walk as one. No, we're going to get this together. We got put through, amen. We went through some testing and some training. We left from there, and it was time for us to start, and we went and helped a ministry, amen, pastored with a ministry in Detroit, amen, that's now defunct, amen, because we were sitting there serving and doing what we need to do, and the pastor was somewhere everywhere, amen, but not in his pulpit. When it was time for us to leave and go start Christ the King in 2002, the church mother wanted to come with us. Say, you are a pastor. You've been here with us. Please take us with you. Send a van, please. I said, Mother, we can't do that. See, that means that even when it looks convenient for you to do so, you have to remain integral. But you can't remain integral if you're not ready to do a process that will show you how to be humble in the sight of greatness. Amen. This isn't about arrogance. This is about positioning and divine order. Hard word for some people because you think your gift, your talent, your bank account, huh, and your friends, your who you connected to, your pedigree is going to excuse bad behavior. Y'all heard it said before. I'll say it again. There's no excuse for bad behavior. God is not blinking and winking at it, and we ain't either. Amen? We got to get it together. God wants to do something for us and through us, but he can't until we go through the process to stand. David stood with the sheep. Why he's with the sheep? He learns how to become a worshiper. He learns how to be skillful on the harp. You see that? He's playing and he's doing all of that. He learns how to fight. Amen? He learns how to do everything he needs to do. And when he gets in front of Saul, even knowing that he has Saul's anointing because Samuel had just left him, he still did not come up and throw it in his face. He respected the anointing that was, past tense, on Saul's life. Because if God chose him, he was worth choosing. Amen? Look. So David came to Saul, 21st verse, and stood before him. And the Bible says here, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And this is why we look at all of this. The armor bearer, when we look at how Saul treated David, how many times David could have took Saul out? You see it? And yet and still he said, I cannot touch God's anointed. When he cut the edge of his robe, he came out and he said, my father, why are you chasing me? Why are you seeking my life? What have I done? Show me my charge. Even now the Lord delivered you into my hand. Showed him the edge of the rope he had cut. Brothers and sisters, God is trying to get to a place where we understand that this positioning, this training, all of this, God is trying to take us up to another level. But we can't get there until we get past ourselves. Once we get past ourselves, then God can do something with us. He became Saul's armor bearer. Can you stand as an armor bearer, knowing you are next in line, even when you're not given next in line credibility? Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. 23rd verse, as I close. And so it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Why did that happen? Because the anointing upon David's life commanded the atmosphere. Brothers and sisters, when God anoints you, don't let the devil trick you out of it. He understands that the anointing on your life gives you authority over his work and his kingdom. But if you don't know it, then he'll use your anointing to do infighting in the kingdom of God. The body of Christ is suffering now, because sons and daughters don't know their place, and the enemy has stolen your identity. We need to get it back. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin. Maybe you say, Apostle, I would like to be saved. But pray this prayer with me. It's very simple. Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching ministry where they can grow and be developed. I pray, Lord, that you will open up their hearts and their minds, that they will begin to understand the rhema word from you, the secret things from you, Lord. Take them, Lord, into that developmental stage where they'll be able to stand in the day of the enemy. Amen. I pray right now, Lord, for miracle signs and wonders to manifest in the name of Jesus. I pray right now for my brothers and sisters, Lord, who are in need, those who need healing, those who need deliverance, those who need a touch from you. Lord, send your ministering angels to minister to them now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Every miracle, sign, and wonder, you'll get the glory out of it, because we'll give it to you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Pray. Amen and amen. Listen, my brothers, my sisters, I pray that you will go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Don't forget now, October 16th through the 19th will be the Woman of Prophetic Destiny conference. Amen. And then November or October 31st and November 1st, amen, will be our singles conference. And then next year, January 29th through February
1st will be the Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. You don't want to miss any of these events, amen. And if you are in the Cocoa area or the Central Florida area, amen, then I ask that you would come and join us at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard here in the city of Cocoa, Florida. That would be Suite 1121. God has something for you. Listen, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, everyone, give God a praise.